Before I arrived here this morning, I thought I knew what the ultimate challenge in life was. But now standing up here, I'm having second thoughts. I think it's speaking to Unitarians. What is the ultimate challenge? Winning a gold medal? Being elected the first black president? Winning an Academy Award? Last week, I was speaking to Erica, and she thought her greatest challenge was yet before her. It's when her daughters are all teenagers. What about traveling to Mars? I would call that a significant challenge. There are a number of people here who are convinced that the greatest challenge is stopping global warming. What about living with your spouse for 70 years? No small task. What could possibly be more challenging than beating cancer? In our joys and sorrows, we've heard a number of people share with us the challenges they have overcome. But what is the ultimate challenge? What is above all the others? I believe the ultimate challenge is what we are engaged in at this very moment, and it will not stop until we die. You and I are constantly trying to find balance in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of balance that Gregory Dorr was unable to maintain on his bicycle, putting his arm in a sling for a few weeks. I'm not talking about the kind of balance that Jan Boer was unable to maintain when a motorist tried to run her over on her bicycle, putting her in a wheelchair. I'm not talking about the kind of balance that Mr. Walenda was able to maintain as he tightroped across the Grand Canyon. Now there's some balance for you. No, I'm talking about a much more serious kind of balance. The balance we strive for every day. You may not agree with me at this moment, but give me a few minutes and see if I can convince you. Am I eating too much? Am I not eating enough? What about my blood pressure? How much exercise do I really need? When is running no longer good for my knees? How many committees should I be on? How involved should I be at the church? Why not join the choir? I certainly could. Speaking of singing, a recent study out of the University of Gothenburg in Sweden discovered that choir members, as they sing together, their hearts begin to synchronize, calms their body, their mind, lowers levels of depression, anxiety, slows down the heart rate, calms the central nervous system. And I'm sure you've all been wondering why your hearts are all beating in unison. Well, now you know. Am I spending enough time with my kids, my spouse? Am I talking too much? Am I listening as much as I'm talking? Now, we preachers, we have a problem with this. We got this podium, this microphone, and it's so easy for us to become so full of ourselves that we get way out of balance at times. Am I drinking too much? Am I gambling too much? I have a 65-year-old friend that I play racquetball with at the LA Fitness, and he confided with me recently that he and his wife go to the casino every day. About 10 years ago, they lost their only child, a 35-year-old daughter, to a brain tumor. And he said, "Fritz, when my wife and I are playing the slots, we do not think about our daughter." Where is the balance? I'm feeling something strange in my chest. Should I see a doctor? Someone is always begging me, "Please, please, Fritz, the next time something is wrong with you, go see a doctor." My dad was a tenant farmer. The doctor was the last person on our list of people to see. I was born at home, and I'm sure some of you were also. Having worked in the mental health field for many years, I will take a physical challenge any day over a mental or psychological challenge. Ever experienced depression? Anxiety? If you have, you know it can be totally incapacitating. I have had many moments in my life where I was totally out of balance. Ever been fired from a job? Ever gone through a divorce? Have you ever felt like you were losing your mind? Now we're getting close to the really sensitive, scary reality of finding balance. Were you raised with the idea that if something was physically wrong with you, oh, it's okay to see the doctor, but if there's something wrong up here, oh, you should be able to take care of that yourself? The most complicated part of this house I live in, my brain, is the part that supposedly I'm equipped to take care of all by myself. Where would you rather have your friends see your car parked? Outside of your doctor's office or outside of the local mental health center? We are evidence that the stigma still exists. Where is the balance? How do you maintain the balance? The year was 1959. I was a freshman in college at Capital University in Columbus, Ohio. I did not eat breakfast that particular morning because I thought I would throw it up. I nervously walked up the stairs to the second floor of Recitation Hall. That was one of the old historic buildings on campus. My assigned seat was on the far side of the room, right beside the windows. I was going to take my midterm in advanced algebra. I had already been struggling with that course, barely passing. Our midterms would be sent home to our parents. I had to study twice as much as my fellow math majors. The concepts seemed to come so easy to them. I struggled trying to understand these things. Dr. Brockman passed out the exam. There were 5 problems. I looked at it, did not recognize anything about any of them. My mind went blank. I had no idea where to even begin. At that time in my life, I did not know about panic attacks. I started shaking. Our home newspaper would run small stories about the experiences of recent high school graduates and how they were doing at the college they had chosen. I immediately could see the headline of my local newspaper. Fritz Oftenkamp, co-captain of the championship basketball team, president of a senior class, flunks out of college in his freshman year. I can still see that newspaper headline in my mind. At that moment, I wanted to jump right out that window and end the humiliation. I don't know how I overcame that panic attack. I thought everybody in the room could see me, but at some point it stopped. I did not fail the course, but I came as close as one could without getting that big red F. Message was well received. At the beginning of the second semester, I was no longer a math major. We often hear of young people taking their own lives for what apparently appear to us as ridiculous reasons, but not ridiculous to them. Now, I don't want to get into some kind of a competition with you as to who has experienced the most unbalanced moments in their lives. Let's just all agree we have been there. And if you haven't, you will. It's part of the human condition. And then we desperately try to find some kind of equilibrium to get the pendulum to slow down and settle closer to the center. Can you imagine what it was like for Nancy Reagan to find balance in her life when she began to realize that her husband was losing his memory while he was still president. Can you imagine what it's been like for President Obama the last few weeks to maintain any balance in his life? Every person in this room has a different opinion about what he should have done or should do. Leaders in our country, leaders around the world, are pushing and pulling him in every direction possible. How do you maintain the balance? Like being caught in a rip current. You see the shore. How much energy do I use to get to the shore? How do I relax and go with the flow and up at the water's edge further down the shore? If I don't maintain the balance, I can drown. Anyone caught in a rip current knows the struggle of finding that balance. This balancing act goes on our whole life. Some of you are thinking about retirement. Got enough money? Some of you are already retired. Downsizing. What furniture do I keep? What furniture do I sell? What furniture do I give away? When do I stop swimming upstream and go with the flow of life? The balancing act continues. It is relentless. We know our physical, mental, and spiritual health is directly affected by the balance we maintain. And that is why the ultimate challenge of finding balance is so important. It affects every part of our being, every aspect of our daily life. It will determine how susceptible we are to illness. It will determine how well we recover from illness. It will determine how successful we are at our profession, at relating to our neighbors, our family, our loved ones, our children. Do you know anyone who's out of balance? They are easily offended, argumentative, just difficult to be around. I don't know what the perfectly balanced life is. I sometimes think I recognize it in others. But for me, it's something I strive for. It's my greatest challenge. Because if I'm going to be able to undertake any other challenges, I must of all have my life in balance. The record swim from Cuba to Key West, I'm sure Diana had her physical life, her spiritual life, and her mental life in balance before she attempted that swim. And then, how do you minimize the movement of the pendulum? Okay, if I think this is so important, I better have some answers as to how you do it. Part of the answer is the time we spend in this space. We have a centering moment at the beginning. The time we spend meditating, the time we spend walking the labyrinth. These are ways of helping ourselves find balance. This is a balancing experience this morning. If people were more unbalanced before they arrived, they wouldn't be coming up here Sunday after Sunday. This is a place for balance. Think about what you really enjoy doing. Fishing, swimming, playing an instrument, reading, writing, yoga, walking, riding bicycles. Okay, you got it up there? Thinking about it? This is what you have discovered helps you find balance. And this brings us what brings us most into balance, and that's an attitude of love. Gratitude, gratefulness, tenderness, peace, compassion, serenity, a calming aura. There's nothing as healing producing or as balancing producing as the gift of love, not only to ourselves, but to others. Then we are getting closer and closer to the pendulum slowing down toward the center. Scientists now believe that all of matter is made up of frequencies or vibrations. Emotions have wavelengths. Anger, hatred, suspicion has a long, slow wavelength. Very few sites where it touches the DNA code. Love, peace, serenity, higher frequency, more points where it touches our DNA chemistry. All emotions come from fear and love. In other words, emotions directly affect our DNA chemistry. When you are in love with the people around you and your creation, you are resonating at a higher frequency. It raises our consciousness, our creativity. It activates more codes on our DNA structure. Think of a circle of friends you have, the ones you observe as having balanced lives. What characteristics shine from them? What is the aura of energy that comes from their persona? I can guarantee you, it's not going to be clouds of doom, fear, apprehension, paranoia, hatred, or suspicion. It will be calmness, serenity, peace, and most of all, love. It is within my power to determine what vibrations come from me. It's not determined by the person I live with, not determined by MSNBC, not determined by Fox News. No, it's me, it's me, it's me. Spiritual leaders over the centuries have been telling us that when you lose yourself or someone else, you find yourself, you find your balance. Helping others enables us to find our own balance. When Fritz wanted to jump out of that window, he was thinking about no one but himself. He was totally out of balance. The cab driver who drove that woman to the convalescent home, he was more in balance after the event than before. It was a balancing, producing experience. The San Francisco cab driver, the Tibetan man, the Asian woman, the young black boys, they were all much more in balance after they helped the elderly gentleman literally find his balance than they were before the event. It was a balancing, producing event. The best advice I ever received while in seminary to help me stay in balance as a pastor was given by our homiletics professor. He said, it's very simple. Read your Bible, love your people. And so today, let's continue doing acts of mercy. Don't worry so much about what you say or what you do, because what is important is how you make them feel. Use your library card. Ride your bicycle. Walk by our beautiful ocean. Dig your hands into the soil of your garden. And above all, listen to the struggle of those around you and make sure they know you will be there for them. Practice compassion. Mankind has only been on the scene for a blip in the recorded history of mankind. We are still struggling to become a civilized society. We are still needlessly killing each other, trampling each other to buy Grand Theft Auto. Compassion is the spiritual technology that will enable us to become a civilized society, one human race. And then we can take the story of mankind on the road and share it with the universe. Do your thing. Dig your hands deep in the soil, and above all, practice compassion. And you will overcome the greatest challenge in life. You will find balance. And now, the Eternal Spirit in me recognizes and bows to the Eternal Spirit in you. Namaste.